This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
After the second crash of a Boeing 737 MAX 8 plane in less than 6 months, the European Union has joined aviation authorities in China, Singapore, and Indonesia in ordering none of the planes fly in their airspace. Ethiopian Airlines Flight 302 crashed shortly after takeoff. 157 people were killed. A Lion Air flight using the same Boeing model crashed off the coast of Indonesia last October, also on takeoff. The MAX 8 was rolled out in recent years by Boeing. There are 350 worldwide. The company has said safety is Boeing's number one priority, and we have full confidence in the safety of the MAX.
The statement coming from Boeing, some of this is similar to what we heard from the company yesterday as well as Sunday. Safety is Boeing's number one priority. We have full confidence in the safety of the MAX. We understand that regulatory agencies and customers have made decisions that they believe are most appropriate for their home markets. We'll continue to engage with all of them to ensure they have all the information they need to have the confidence they need to safely continue to operate the fleets and to return them to service.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu, and you're listening to Raise Your Game. Now, following the tragic plane crashes in Indonesia and Ethiopia, Boeing has come under fire by many critics who claim the lack of leadership has directly led to their inability to manage the crisis. So what went wrong, and is there any way for Boeing to recover? I'm here with Gogulan Dore Raju and Janita Sukumaran from Rantau PR, and they're here to share the relationship between leadership and crisis management, or a missed opportunity in crisis management. So welcome, Gogs and Janita. You know, when that happened as well, right, and we look at that situation, I guess people would have heard the story. How much does a person in the leadership position affect the way a company is run? And maybe we can go back into this example here.
The face of the company is always the leader, right? And back to this context of Boeing, and since we're here for Boeing, the Boeing story, it was too late. They were behind the narrative and they were chasing the narrative after that. What we want to say from a leadership position is you come out forcefully and say, as much as you want to say, Tony Fernandez did it really well,
yeah,
right? With the QZ air crash. Mm. Immediately, a leadership role came out and he took the narrative by the grip of his neck.
Yeah.
Without anybody else being allowed into the story. And then he shaped it.
Right.
Regardless of what he was saying, doing right or wrong, he shaped it. And that showed leadership. That is what people want to see.
Yeah. You know, in that year, we had three, right? And people have forgotten QZ, right? And you say, and you can't remember what the flight number was because you saw him on the ground getting there and he was that face there immediately.
Exactly. Immediately, he took ownership of the story, of the crisis, and he said, it was our fault. We will do whatever it takes, even though it wasn't their fault.
Right.
Right? But it was an Air Asia plane.
Mm.
So the leader came out and stood. He didn't let anybody else come into the way. He didn't let the corporate communications team come in. Mm. He came out with a story.
Mm. In this case, is it because, like, you know, when people are afraid to say it's our fault because they're thinking, all these experts or all the PR folks will be telling them, oh, you're going to get sued. You're going to get, you know, don't say sorry, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so that goes back to the story of why Boeing also, whatever they're saying is coming out from what their lawyers are allowing them to say.
Mm.
This is why, because Boeing is a 100-year-old company.
Right.
They build airplanes, which means when something goes wrong, it really goes wrong, right? So whatever they're saying is not only allowed by what their lawyers are allowing him to say, the CEO right now.
Okay. I think to add on to that as well, apparently the first week of the incident with the Ethiopian Airlines, it was the in-house communication that was leading the conversation in terms of what needs to be put out. The expert crisis communications company, which is actually out of New York, only came to the picture in the second week. And immediately following that is when we actually saw the first official statement by Boeing's CEO. And since then, we have actually seen several statements and videos that have come out. So it's actually shown a huge difference in terms of how an in-house consultancy handles it and an external consultancy.
Right.
So I think the question also is basically how traditional companies like Boeing probably need to relook their crisis module and be more people friendly and have a more humane face when there's a crisis.
Yeah.
Because if you look at their initial statements as well as previous statements with regards to the Lion Air, all their statements did not have a quote from their CEO.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I want to talk about lawyers, right? But anyway, a little bit about the CEO, Alan Mulally.
Which was the previous CEO.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Was able to rescue Boeing post 9/11.
Yes.
With a very strict and specific management style, a clear and compelling vision, a comprehensive strategy to deliver that vision and execution through relentless working implementation process, right? He left to become the CEO of Ford Motor Company, where he also applied the same working together leadership model here. You know, I just wanted to, okay, that was the former CEO. So we talk about the current CEO and lawyers come into play and all that, right? When do you... You know, like sometimes lawyers, you know, consultants come to play and then you're crippled. What do you do then? Because there's all these fears going on.
I think that's where a strong leadership comes into play. Mm. I think if a leader knows exactly what he needs to save for the company, right, while safeguarding the reputation and the direction of the company, he will override what lawyers say. So there's always going to be a big war between lawyers and PR. PR is going to say, be transparent, be sincere, put out as much as possible. Lawyers are going to say, look at the potential business risk, which is very true. Yeah.
The legal risks, right? Because at the end of the day, when you admit to a certain fault, you're opening yourself to lawsuits, right? So it's all limited on what you can say. Again, we go back to the Tony Fernandez issue. Mm. His lawyer said the same thing to him, right? But he override them, right? And he said, okay, I need to come up and show compassion. Mm. I need to be the face. And people really applauded that.
Right.
Because he really was on the ground immediately. There was no lag. Nobody was asking, where is the CEO? Nobody's asking, where's Tony? Mm. He was there immediately.
Right.
And I'm sure the lawyers and his PR people are telling him not to go there, not to go here and all that.
Yeah.
Of course, there's a certain rogue element to that. But, you know, if you are a seasoned professional in that space, you will know what to do.
And I believe when there is a loss of life, you need to show a human face. You can't just put out statements with no person being quoted, where a CEO doesn't come out and speak or doesn't go to the ground. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's what needs to change. When there are loss of life, you need to be compassionate.
Right.
And we saw that as well with the Prime Minister of New Zealand.
Mm.
Yeah, everyone's been talking about Jacinda Ardern. Why? Mm. Because she so showed empathy and you actually felt her empathy.
Right.
Yeah. So leadership doesn't just, is not just confined to organizations. It's also politicians. They are leaders as well. And they all basically, at the end of the day, handle crisis in pretty much the same way.
Mm. But just to take a step back, if you look at the crisis on Boeing, we also have to look at the crisis of confidence now in the FAA.
Mm.
Because the FAA took so long to ground the planes when the Chinese, the Asians, a lot of other countries were doing it. Mm. And the FAA were the last to ground the planes because they said there was nothing wrong with those planes, right? So now there's a question of credibility with the FAA.
Right.
Right? And that also needs to be addressed because the FAA was the gold standard, correct? And now people are taking a step back and wondering.
Okay, you know, both of you use the word compassion, and that's really important. And when you see, I think like when you're out there showing compassion, and again, all the bad people are just worried that you'll say more than you need to say, right? And I think that's what they're worried about. But if you just sort of contain your messaging back to just compassion about the people and all that, that is probably, you know, but a seasoned person gets media trained and everything. Yeah. That's important.
Exactly. Yeah. Dennis Muilenburg, who is the current CEO, he is an excellent leader.
Mm.
He's an excellent businessman. We have seen profits increase. We have seen share prices, rocket high for Boeing. Mm. But is he an all-rounded leader? I guess now we're seeing that maybe he needs a little bit more exposure in terms of managing crisis.
Mm.
Every time there's a crisis, it creates a space. And that space is going to be populated with conversation.
Mm.
And it's a question, who is taking ownership of that conversation? In the case of the Ethiopian airline crash, Boeing's lack of communicating, they lost out in basically ownership of conversation.
Right.
So you find that a whole lot of critics then get into the picture.
Because if you're not saying something, someone else will.
Exactly.
Right? Own the narrative.
Yeah. Now, so in this case also, we're talking about values because Boeing was accused of forgetting their core values, which includes integrity. We take personal responsibility for our own actions and safety. We value human life and well-being above all else and take action accordingly. But there was an insistent defense of the aircraft model. We have full confidence in the safety of their 737 MAX, right? When you talk about values, right, how do you
create a process and uphold those values in situations like this?
Well, this is where the communications team in Boeing should have done a better job. I don't think it is solely the responsibility of a CEO to put out, to put out statements and to basically be the face. Now, the comms team should have had a better hold as to how they were going to structure the entire communications with regards to this particular crash. If you look at the statements that were put out, I mean, yes, they were very cookie cutter, which is not abnormal for organizations. They usually do have a template of what you would say in case of a crash.
An SOP.
What you'd say in case of a fire at any manufacturing plant. And all their statements with regards to crashes are very similar. It's, you know, we are saddened, heartfelt condolences, but we stand by the safety of our plane, which is incredibly important for a company like Boeing because we are talking about the aircrafts. So it is a fine balance between what the values of the organization is and what is happening at that particular moment. As I said, I think all those words were used very adequately, but it lacked a human face. It lacked a human touch. And that was what was missing.
And a bit late.
Yeah, very late. It also sounded very artificial. When you start defending this, bear in mind, this is the second crash, not even the first.
Of the same kind of model.
Of the same plane. So why did Boeing not actually, they were defending their product steadfastly again. And I think that got into people's minds.
Right?
Because this is the second crash of the same model in the same instance. And again, you said the narrative was being taken by the officials on the ground who were saying it was the same issue.
Okay. We're talking about leadership and crisis management and missed opportunities. What can we do now to change the situation for Boeing? We'll discuss that after this. I'm here with Govulan Dorairaju and Janita Sukumaran from Rantau PR. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Bright, formidable media. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
You're listening to Raise Your Game. Good morning. This is Frida Liu. I'm here with Govulan Dorairaju and Janita Sukumaran from Rantau Golin. I forgot to include that in earlier on Rantau Golin PR. We're talking about leadership and crisis management and missed opportunity in crisis management. If you just join us, the context is around the Boeing crashes most recently. They didn't control the conversation as we're talking earlier on, right? And you feel that they've forgotten their values. When you talk about values, how often then do you include that in the process, a reminder, this whole idea with crisis management? What do you do now moving forward?
You use your values as the fundamental basis of all your conversation. You repeat it as often as possible, but you have to recognize the context in which you're using it. So a lot of what the values that Boeing exalts are very important values because it talks about human safety. But what the organization failed to do in this case was to emphasize how important those human lives were because they emphasized the safety of their planes. And that's what was the problem. Because I think it was a day after the Ethiopian airline crash, they actually came up with a news release talking about an upgrade to the safety features. Now, timing itself, that was pretty bad.
Yeah.
And if you actually look at that news release, it starts off with the Lion Air. So it's talking about the heartfelt condolences and sadness about the Lion Air crash. And then it goes on about the safety upgrades that they are introducing. And at the end, they add on the condolences for the Ethiopian crash. So looking at that news release, it was obviously pre-planned and they just went along with it. Nothing changed. They went ahead with the timing of that news release, which contradicts what you've talked about with regards to the safety of play. I don't think there is a level of safety. Right. When you say safety, you expect the highest level of safety. Yeah. When a plane goes down, you come up with a news release saying that we have upgraded the safety measures of a plane. And, you know, it's all about timing.
Right.
Timing was really, really bad. No one looked at how things were being timed. They were just being put out there. Yeah. No one looked at, you know, how important it is for the CEO to actually have come out and spoken. He took 1 week before he actually made a public appearance, before any documentation had his sign off.
Because I think they personally got caught off guard. If you ask me personally, I think they got caught off guard. It was a second thing of the same incident. So they were rushing to see whether they were really in the wrong right now. So I think that's why that news release, I think, like you said, was pre-planned.
Yeah.
And they just added on as a stopgap measure to see how much time they could buy themselves.
Right. Okay, no, and here is the story behind it as well, because you're talking about FAA, because they launched the 737 MAX only 9 months after Airbus developed their A320neo for American Airlines. And so the hasty nature of development has sparked suspicions of over-competitiveness. In light of the fact that technical modifications made to the plane, 737, came with no requirement for pilot training, and Boeing pushed for the FAA to get...
Yeah, so it boils down to money.
And if it is not true, that's what's going to be the rumors. Yeah. That's the
story. No, because that is the story. The NEO came out, and then they realized that they were going to... Because the 737 and the A320 are the money-making bread and butter of the airline industries, right? So the A320 came out with the NEO. And then these people decided to rush the 737 MAX because they couldn't build a new plane. What they initially should have done was take a hit, come back with a new plane, and then let the orders come in. But they realized that most of the airlines are going to order the A320neo.
Right.
So they rushed this, and there was a fault because they couldn't. These planes were apparently built too low to the ground. The story is Boeing built their planes too low to the ground to the A320. So they couldn't fit in a new engine to the plane. They had fixed the engine higher up the plane, which means they had to add in another system called the MCAS. And the MCAS, the big thing was there was an option with a button. And that option for that button is $80,000 per plane. Lion Air didn't take that option. Ethiopian Airlines didn't take that option. Okay. Now Boeing's rushing out that option free to everyone.
Wow.
Said it shouldn't have been an option, is it? I mean, it's like we're talking about safety here.
Right. You know, do I get, is that the brakes, an option or not?
So this button tells you, overrides the two sensors that push that plane, that nose down.
Oh, wow.
So I think we're going to see a whole lot more stories coming out with regards to the MAX, the 737 MAX. There's, you know, the crisis is just brewing. And it's a question whether Boeing now has figured out that they need to be a bit more proactive in putting out stories and not waiting for things to happen. One of the main things in terms of being proactive is they should have called for a voluntary grounding of their planes instead of waiting for countries and airlines to take that initiative.
Right.
If you basically look at a parallel with FMCG consumables and pharmaceuticals, the minute there is reasonable doubt about the quality or safety of a product, they will call for a voluntary recall.
Yeah.
So Boeing should have sent out an advisory saying that basically we would advise all airlines to ground the planes for the interim.
Right.
They didn't. Right. They wanted those planes to continue to be in air.
And then you can say that we've checked, everything's okay, but at least that's the right business decision to make.
Yes, yes.
You know, okay.
That goes back to your story of compassion and taking ownership and responsibility, because it's your product. And a plane, even though it's safer than driving, it still gives you that option, that whole fear,
right?
And what Boeing has inadvertently done is now people, when they book flights, they check what plane it is. Nobody actually did that before, right?
Right.
Now everyone check what plane am I flying on, right?
Okay, it's true. You know, the face, you know, we talk a lot about the face, and even let's talk a couple of years ago with the Galaxy Note 7 when they started exploding and all that. And then I don't know if we saw the face behind Samsung at that time or enough of it, but what can we do right now? This has happened. What should be the next steps for this leader? And like, I mean, like 3 months from now, 6 months from now, what would you advise the CEO to do, or CEOs in general?
Boeing's business in the long term is not going to be affected. The airplane manufacturing business is a duopoly between Boeing and Airbus. In the short term, we probably will see, businesses' profit going down. I mean, they've already lost a massive deal in China to Airbus. So you're going to basically see a lot of heat on Boeing. I do believe that they definitely need to change their crisis module to be more compassionate, to recognize that when there is a loss of human lives, they need to be there needs to be empathy. The CEO needs to come out. I don't think CEOs should come out for every single crisis, but when there is a loss of life, you need to be there. You need to show that the company cares. And you can continue to do that without basically affecting your business. Yeah, as Gogolin mentioned just now, you know, AirAsia, their business wasn't affected, but you did see Tony on the ground. And you don't have to talk about the planes. You just have to talk about the people. And that's what you need to see.
You need to take ownership of the narrative and the story. So when you get your CEO on the ground talking, and like Jen said, if you start talking about the people, it slowly takes away a story from the planes eventually. Because bear in mind, those are actually very good planes. They're state-of-the-art planes. It's just that there's some things that could be fixed, which could have been fixed earlier. That's all.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. Now if I want to fly, I think I will ask, am I flying on an Airbus or a Boeing? I will ask this now, right?
Kayak gave an option to their customers to choose a plane after this incident.
Right.
Yeah.
You see?
Kayak.com?
Yeah. Because I was just checking on some flights yesterday. I was like, okay. So what, when I look at that, you say, yes, it's a duopoly and everything, but this will affect you. What would be the messaging a year from now? Is it to reaffirm the safety, that kind of human thing? What can you do to continue?
Unless they scrap the 737 MAX project altogether, they can't, because it's going to hit their bottom line. They already lost about $40 billion from their stock value, right? So this is hitting them hard. They have to sit back and take stock of what they're going to do. I would personally say they would have to scrap the 737 MAX. Because, again, like you said, people are going to check. Even though people have limited memory, a plane, when you fly on, you will check.
Right. I will forget the 737. I will just think Boeing.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
I'm flying on a Boeing, right? Which Boeing am I flying on, right? And I'm telling people now, you know, the 737-800s are okay, the 900s are okay. Again, I would personally scrap the whole project and start with a new variant. Yeah.
At the end of the day, we need to realize a crisis, it's unplanned for, but it is an opportunity for you to project who you are as a company. And a lot of CEOs fail to look at it that way. They just look at it as basically it's a bad thing. Bad or good, you have to own what's happening. And you basically need to make sure that you're there and you are able to reflect what the company is all about and you know, make sure that you gain trust. Boeing has got a long road ahead of them in terms of gaining trust and, you know, trustworthiness and confidence.
Back.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And they need to realize that they are really not only a B2B company. Mm. Yeah? They actually do have a B2C down the line, although it doesn't seem obvious.
Right. Very much so. Very much so. Thanks for being with us. I've been speaking to Gogolin Adoraju and Janita Sukumaran from Ranta Golan PR, talking about leadership and crisis management. You've been listening to Race Your Game, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.